Blog Talk Radio.
I don't need to be that content. It might sound like a hedonist, but the simplest way I can put it, you become a habit. The more I consume, the more I gotta have it. Ain't no such thing as too much. If you gave me everything, it'd never be enough. Yeah, a black coffee with sugar, no cream. In the morning, I'm a super double caffeine dream. Yeah,
your precious darkness got me so strung out and loving the way that you got me so wide open, my baby. Chosen and feeling under my skin. My nerves are screaming when you're not here. See, baby, I need ya. Sugar, you're so delicious.
There is something about your love that makes me just.
All right, you guys, that's a little bit of India Irie with Chocolate Love. We are here tonight, Friday. It is 6 p.m. in the evening, and we have a very special guest. As you know, this is Say Your Peace Radio Show, and I am Salita, your host. We're talking with Mr. Darcell out of Dallas, well, actually, by the way of Hollywood, California. Mr. Darcell, how are you tonight, sir? Hello, Mr. Darcell? Oh. Are you there?
I'm here, bud.
Okay. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to turn your mic up.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Oh, how you doing, Selena? What's up, everybody? Alexandra, everybody, how you doing?
We're doing great over here. And you?
All right. I'm blessed, babe. Life is good.
This is a very busy man, you guys. He's getting dressed to go to do a concert while he's doing the interview with me. That's a dedicated man.
Oh, well, you know, we love y'all. I'm just happy to be with you.
We definitely got to get you here one day. Before we get old, we got to get you down here.
Well, let's make it happen. Hey, you know, I love every parish in Louisiana. I've been out there several times.
Okay, Mr. Darcell, I really, really, really want to thank you for allowing me to interview you tonight. I'm excited that we connected. You just seem like a very nice, kind, humble man. Reading your story was kind of, you know, hit home a little bit.
For real?
Knowing God is so good. Oh yeah, for real. Knowing God is good and he makes things happen when you don't think, and he's listening when you don't think he's listening. He hears your cries and everything else. I'm not going to get on my preaching box today.
Amen. I'll tell you on that. 100%.
Well, I want you, Ms. Darcell, I want you to tell us about your story.
Okay, no problem. You can just call me Darcell. You know, it's cool. We don't have to be so informal, Mr.
Okay.
Leader. Well, you know, I'm an R&B singer and a gospel singer. I grew up singing in the church, representing Christ in Dallas, Texas, mostly with my family's gospel group, The Sunlight. And I decided I wanted to come out here to Hollywood and make my dreams happen. So I did.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I first got out here, it was just a really, really tough time. And, you know, I wasn't getting what I was expecting to get in terms of the reception. I felt like when I got out to L.A., so many record companies now, they want black men to be gangsters and thugs and pimps. And that's not what I do.
And so I
Now, I went around the block a couple of times, wrestling with trying to get people to see my vision and hopefully see the bigger purpose in music other than just sex and material things. And I kept running against a brick wall. So I look up one day, and I'm sleeping in my car. And it was a very humbling experience for me. And it just changed me a lot. So I would take a shower at the gym and iron my clothes at the gym and, you know, wake up in the morning, use the restroom at the service station, and just trying to find my way. And as time went by, I just decided I was going to start my own label, and I did. And once I started my own label, you know, the Lord had said to me, son, why do you keep looking for the hookup? Why don't you learn how to be the hookup?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I said, you know, Lord, you're right about that. So I started my own record company and released my own album, and here we are.
Okay, now tell us how, you know, I hear people say they start their own record label and all that. Do you mind just, you don't have to go into the deep details about how you went about doing it. But the basics on how to start your own record label.
I just did some research. What happened was I live in a Mirage, long story short, I ended up getting me another apartment. When I got my apartment, I'm a kind of person, I let people stay with me. It wasn't a problem because I had gone and been there, done that. So this cat named Richard Aaron out of L.A., genius type dude, older brother, he had been in the game a long time. He kind of schooled me a little bit, but one day he called and said, Darcell, come down to Larrabee West Studios. I left my dry cleaning in your car, so I did. When I went to the studio, Teddy Riley and his whole crew was there. That's all. I was like, wow, what's up, fellas? So I ended up going on tour with Teddy. With this band called Blackstreet.
Yeah, so I
went on tour
with
him. You know, Blackstreet. Blackstreet had to hear, "Can I get a kiss goodnight, baby?" You know, and so we were touring that. Huh? Was that now?
Yes, I said yes. Matter of fact, Mr. Terry is from the group. He's no longer with them. He was in a play here. I actually did an interview with him. Yeah.
Now who was that? Who was that now?
The one named Terry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Ted, he had to change so many people. I know Ted, you know. Blackstreet be five people this year. Next year be three of the same people, two more people. It's kind of like that. But within all that, you know, I began to learn, like, the business part of music. And I learned that, you know, talent makes you eligible for success, but talent doesn't guarantee success. And so I'm like, well, what can I do? What do I do to make myself stand out from the crowd? So I did some research, and I just tell anybody out there who might be listening, to start a record company is very easy in terms of, you know, county registrar, whatever, however they do it in your city or state. You find, make sure that name is not taken. You pay users about $50 to $60 to retain that name, and then you go from there. And the rest of it is just about writing, producing, and performing the album, packaging the album, and putting it out there, and that's what I chose to do.
I want to make sure I'm saying this correctly. So you don't have a producer. You basically do everything yourself.
Yeah, right now on the label, I wrote and produced the album out in L.A. There were some cats that I thought were tremendous musicians. So I play, you know, a few instruments, mostly right now piano and guitar, but singing is my first love musically. But I just called some cats up that, matter of fact, a couple of them hit me up and said, man, I heard you doing an album. I was like, yeah. Like, well, I want to play on it. So I'm thinking these cats, they play with Stevie. They play with, you know, in the American Idol band. A couple of playing the Voice band. So they, you know, some of the best musicians around, even though I know there's great musicians everywhere. And I just went into the studio and cut the album. So, yeah, right now I'm the label owner, the producer, the artist, and doing a lot of, you know, promotions on my own and working with a publisher to get the word out. And that's how we're doing it right now. The game has changed so much. It's not really about please listen to my demo. It's about artists having the courage. It's about artists having the courage, first of all, hopefully to be themselves, to say that, you know what, I'm not going to chase trends. I'm not going to do, you know, whatever music you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. At the end of the day, no matter what kind of music you do, we'll take someone like the greatest, Michael Jackson. Some people love Michael. Some people didn't like Michael. And so we know that no matter what we do, not everybody's going to like it. So you may as well be true to yourself. And so that's the concept I ascribe by, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you know what? And that's so right. But you know, the music industry, I don't think they understand. Then again, they might, the impact they have on everybody wants to be a rapper. Nobody wants to learn anything. They want to rap, and then hopefully somebody will pick them up.
Right.
And they're on the road, and they got these big deals, and they living in these big houses and got all these women and this whole nine yards.
Right.
And really, is only a, that is nowhere near how it really is, because you don't know what's happening to them people once the lights go down and the auditoriums and the stages are clear. They don't, just listening to you letting me know that this, that ain't no easy task to deal with, the journey to become where you're at, you know, to get where you're at now.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's story is different, so I don't want to act like I know it all, because I don't know it all. I'm learning every day. But what I do know is that in the times we're living in, and there are some good rappers out there. You got Talib Kweli, you got Common, you got some young cats like Lupe Fiasco and Kendrick Lamar. Those cats, I think, have something relevant to say to lift our people up. At the same time, I think that, you know, with music, I think people want music now, at least it's my opinion, that people want music now that's going to uplift them, that's going to inspire them in some way, that life is going to be okay, that things are going to be okay with the economy. Mm-hmm. This, it's just my opinion. I don't gravitate to music for people saying how good they are sexually, how much money they got. I mean, I'm not going to give you $10 for a CD for you to brag about how much money you got. It makes no sense to me. So with my music, I try to write songs, hoping to inspire people to love each other, and really to show people how beautiful they are.
Yeah,
that's why
I
do music.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we're gonna play one of Mr. Darcell. Mr. It's just a habit. Do not to call you Mr.
You know, good. I'm definitely a Mr. But you know, it's just Darcell, baby. It's all good.
We're going to play one of his songs. This one is called Stay, and then we're going to talk a little bit more with him. Stay cool,
right,
guys.
You stay, y'all. Y'all listen up. I love you.
There's gotta be a better way for you and I to express ourselves. Separating good things from the bad, sharing is caring. Take a little time out for the simple things in life. Everything's gonna be alright if we keep our dream in sight. Our love will stand the test of time. And did you feel as I do? There's gotta be a better way. Instead, a better way.
complete, makes life complete.
All right, you guys, we are back. That was Stay by Darcell. Darcell, I like that. Now, what inspired you to write that one?
I appreciate it. You know what? I actually wrote this song several years ago. I think I was 18 at the time. I was really just starting to play instruments, and, you know, the song just came to me. The melody came, and the chords came, and the story came, and the song was birthed.
So you're like a romantic?
Do I consider myself a romantic singer?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think love is always appropriate. I mean, not all my songs are necessarily about romance. Sometimes, you know, just like this first album, this self-titled album, Darcell, it's mostly love theme. I'm not like, come over here, baby, let me kiss you behind your ear. I want to make you feel so good. That's really not my style. But, you know, since I do represent Christ in the music business, most of my songs have something to do with love, even if it's not romance. I think romance is beautiful. I think romance is missing in our industry right now in a lot of ways. I think that, you know, this whole thing about bragging about how cool I am and how fly I am, that's just really not what I do. So I don't know if it's just romance, but most of my music, yeah, it is wrapped in, it is packaged in love, yeah.
And is that the message that you're trying to send out to everyone? Is that your message?
Well, yeah, love is the answer regardless of the question. That's my message. Whatever you find is going on in your life, I think that love is the cure for it. I mean, you know, I don't know what your faith is. I'm a Christian man. So in the Christianity, God is love. And so, I give all glory to God in terms of my gifts, my talent. I didn't give my gifts to myself. You know, it's not like I went to, you know, Macy's and bought it. And so, yeah, my musical message, and my artistic message, yes, it is a love message. I think it's the most important thing.
Man. Now, let me ask you this. You actually went to college. Did you complete, or you decided to do something different?
Did complete. I'll tell you a quick story. I was in college at University of North Texas, right outside of Dallas, and I was working this summer at Budget Rent-A-Car. I was managing a call center. Friend of mine, you know, we used to take reservations, so we meet people from all over the country. So a friend of mine, Denise, this cat out of New York, he sent her a ticket because he wanted to meet her. So she flew to New York. She flew to New York, and I guess she wasn't feeling him. So when she came back to Dallas, he sent her a ticket to L.A. She gave me the ticket to go to L.A. It was before 9/11. You could just jump on a plane, you know. I had the idea at the time. So I jump on the plane to go to L.A. I end up backstage at American Music Awards. I think it was like the next night. So I told my mom and pop, I'm going to drop out of college and move to L.A., and that's what I did. So 3 weeks later, I moved to L.A. I never went back to college. I don't regret it. I mean, college is a great thing. I mean, you know, higher education is tremendous. But for my vision and for my purpose and my calling, it wasn't necessary for me. And at the time, when I look back, I just didn't have that type of discipline to complete that. I took off.
You admitted.
Huh?
I said, at least you admitted it.
Oh, my God. It wasn't for me at the time. And do I tell my kids, and I tell them, you know, go to college if college is for you, you know. But I think that, especially in 2013, moving forward, college is not the end-all, be-all for everybody. Again, I think the higher education level is great. If you want to get a master's, PhD, whatever, bachelor's, I think it's tremendous. But I don't think it's necessary to be successful depending on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to be a medical physician, of course you got to go to college to be a medical physician. But if you want to be a cook, maybe you go to culinary arts school and learn to cook some of the best meals in the country and start your own restaurant or catering service. So it just depends on the person and their vision, their purpose, I believe.
Okay. Now, you're married and you have kids?
Married, 3 children, Jamal, Kenya, and Solomon. My wife is Angela. I know a lot of entertainers, and they don't like saying they're married. I don't know why, because, you know, I'm selling my vision and my purpose and why I was put on this planet. I'm not selling my body. So yeah, I'm a married man. I'm a married man with three kids. I think family is the most precious gift on earth, to be honest with you.
And you're so right about a lot of them try to hide that they're married and they don't want nobody to know. Well, that's because there's an ultimate alternative to that. And not only that,
right.
Some women don't care.
Right, that's true. Oh, that's true. That's very true. But,
okay,
you know, right. I don't care if you're married or not. What's up?
What's up? That's what I want to know. So now, let me ask you this. I know you do. You do get those looks and those stares at times, right?
You get more than looks and stares. I mean, I just try to keep it in perspective. You know, I don't want to be divorced. You know, I'm not a perfect man, but at the same time, I love my wife. I love my children. And if somebody doesn't get into my music because of that, that's fine with me. I mean, that just they just don't get into my music. You know, if you don't get into my music because I'm a married man who loves his wife and kids, I don't know what to say. That's not going to change.
Yeah.
So, but I think most women respect it. I think most men respect it. I think most people desire to have someone they love, and if my music can inspire them in any way to manifest that, that's cool too.
Yeah, you're right. Because I just know that a lot of them, you know, they say they want to keep their private life private, and they don't want anybody in there. But you have to understand, when you're in the business, you're in the business. And
right.
The people who's trying to get in your business are the ones
right.
who help pay your bills. So you You have to be careful how you say you don't want nobody in your business. You did that when you signed on a dollar time, okay?
I agree, and also,
I think because
you're married, that doesn't necessarily mean somebody's in your business. You know, you say you're married, that doesn't mean you're saying, hey, guess what we did last night at 7 p.m.? I mean, it's just, I'm married, you know, it's not a big deal, I don't think. I don't think it's as big deal now as it used to be back in the day when guys would be married and you know, hire their wives and stuff. I mean, my wife, my kids, I'm homeschooling. They tour with me. You know, we went over to Europe not long ago. It was cool, and you know, we get ready to go to New York. Oh, it's cool. It is cool. You know, it's fun.
And that's what you should do. Have fun with your family. Let them see that side of life,
right.
Because a lot of kids, it's sad that a lot of our black kids don't even leave their front yard and don't know how to go out and go places because the parents don't do it either. But your kids have an opportunity to see the world, you know, on a grander scale than anybody. So, I mean, that's awesome. I think it's awesome that your family
I try to tell my kids, too, it's like, man, it's like, you know, money and cars and all that stuff. That stuff has its place. But, you know, if you're not on this planet to make this world better, to bless people, uplift people, to touch people, man, I mean, why are you here? Selfish people don't make a difference in this world. It's people that want to love and give, you know, a la MLK and, you know, cats like that. And some of the men and women of the Civil Rights Movement. I mean, they were giving up so much just to make sure me and you can talk on the radio right now.
Exactly.
You know?
You are so right. You sound just like that's the same soapbox we're on all the time. You know, you're not
good.
Here just – but, you know, society has made it so everything is a me.
No doubt.
It's not about trying to help anybody. It's about me trying to see what I can get out of you. In the process, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours when I feel like it. We have that attitude, and I think that's what's missing, especially when it comes to our people, that's missing. We're so individualized now, and if we're not individualized, we're clumped in a group, and that's how people see us. And we don't understand that people really see us the way people portray us, certain people portray us. You know, we don't try to make a difference in that. We don't try to change that.
Well, I think what happened with Trayvon and others, it's a lot of brothers been getting killed out in this country. You know, Trayvon Martin, God rest his soul, I thank God his case, regardless of how it turned out, got so much media exposure. But honestly, a couple weeks after Trayvon got killed, it was a brother, young brother, 19 years old, in Pasadena, California. Same thing.
Yeah.
Police pull up on him. They shoot him dead. They swear he had a gun. Of course, the gun was a cell phone, like most of the time it is. So they get a slap on the wrist. They get on administrative leave for a couple weeks. They back at work. But I think my point is, I think that a lot of times things like that happen because people. Look, I'm not a racist man. You know, I love the Lord. I love people. I love our people too, though. That's one of the main reasons why I don't get into this old gangster pimp thug. I'm a freak her down. So people want us to act a fool, and it's like, and I'll say it on the air, and you know, I hope I don't offend anybody. If I do, I just do. Justin Timberlake can sing about love, but I got to sing about being a pimp. You know what I mean? So Justin Timberlake, his woman's a lady, but my woman got to be a hoe. And it's like, no, I'm not with that.
Right.
I'm not with it. So it's like, for me, it's like people, we grown people, we understand people do what you allow them to do. People feel like they can shoot Trayvon because all them black folk going to do is rally and they going to hype up for a minute. But if you check one of these TV shows like First 48, 17 of them shot each other within 3 weeks. So, you know, we have to really be concerned about how we come.
Right. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you said that. Before Trayvon Martin, there was a young 14-year-old down here in Eros, Louisiana, was what they called drowned in water, and he didn't drown. He was murdered. And I just got off the phone with his dad. We've been working on his case because we want to get it reopened because they called it an accidental drowning. And it wasn't. Right. We know he was by the evidence that we've gotten by two white boys. And I'm saying like it is. And And he didn't get the national exposure. He didn't get Al Sharpton, even though we called several times. We didn't get any of that to get it. We didn't get the protesting that we needed to get the story out.
95% of the time we don't. But I mean, my mother and father were having this conversation. I was having a conversation with them there. You know, they were saying about the political climate because we have a black president and all that. I totally agree. People hating. I totally agree they trying to stop everything. At the same time, though, how are we treating each other on a daily basis? So the brother homeless, he dirty, his jeans dirty, his sneakers dirty, his breath stink, his teeth yellow, his hair ain't combed. Yeah, we can see the brother hungry. But we got $150 in our pocket or $35. We won't give him a dollar to eat. And so it's like, and I travel a little bit, and you seeing the same thing over the country now. It's like, wait a minute. I expect Rush Limbaugh to act the way he does. I expect Bill O'Reilly to act the way he does. But I don't expect my brothers and sisters to act the way we do, though. We still have a responsibility to make a difference regardless of how Bob is acting. Bob, there's some good white people out there too. But the ones that don't love us, Bob is going to act the way he acts. But how do we act? That's the main thing.
Yeah.
How do I treat my, do I call my woman out of her name? Does she have to be a B.I.C. snake if I get angry? Is my brother just a nigga because I'm used to saying it? It's not cool. But I think that's our bigger problem. Because, like I said, you know, nothing Bill O'Reilly says or Fox News says surprises me at all. But when I was on TV in Chicago, and now they're calling Chicago shot rats because all these young brothers killing each other, I'm like, come on, man. You know, we don't need the Ku Klux Klan. We don't need the Tea Party. They could just sit back and fold their arms and say, we'll just let them kill each other because it seems to be that's our bigger issue. And that has nothing to do with music.
No, you're right. But you know what, too? See, and I posted it up. It's another Blog Talk Radio host. His name is Dino Dean. And talking about Chicago, because he's out of Chicago, he was telling us, talked to a counselor at the Cook County Detention Center, and we're upset about our kids killing each other. You got to know there's a story behind that. And when I listened to his show and I heard what that counselor said, it blows my mind. Those kids are not just doing that. They're not just doing that. It's more behind the whole story. And I encourage people to listen to why those kids are doing that. And it's right. bigger than, yeah, it's bigger than us. When that counselor finished with that interview, I was, like, blown away. So
okay.
we don't know the backstory. That's the whole thing. We don't know the backstory. That we know the front
right.
story. You see a bunch of us killing each other in Chicago. We
right.
don't know the backstory. We don't know
well,
that they give kids lithium and Prozac and
okay. Okay.
Those type of medicines and then letting them loose
okay.
on the streets. We're not
okay.
talking about that.
Okay. See, that, I didn't
you
know that.
Yeah.
I know also, you know, mom and dad, we have to step up and say, you know, I love my kids, man. We got to, you know, show our kids what's up because, you know, it's been here before you and I got here. You know, lock the black man up, you know, Tuskegee thing, give him syphilis. It's just all this stuff. So I was just hopefully my music helps, hopefully my gifts help, hopefully my perspective helps. We, at some point, we have to come together and say, you know what, man, you're not perfect, but, man, I love you, man. You know, I love you, brother. And so if there's anything I can do, you know, to help you further along, if I can do it, brother, I'm just going to do it. I just want to bless you, man. You know, I see there's something special in you. And sometimes that's all it takes to turn somebody around.
Exactly. That's true. You're right. They just need a little bit of attention. Now, we've had a great conversation, and I need to play one more. I need to play another one of your songs. This is called How
That.
Okay?
Yeah, that's the first single. The video is out. They can go to darcell.net, which is my website. They can get the album on darcell.net, or then you guys can get it on iTunes or CD Baby or whatever. Appreciate you guys' support, if you will. But, yeah, How Do You Feel is the first single on the CD, and hope you guys will love it.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. When a picture is painted of love, colors are so different, conforming as one. Such beauty to display. When a picture's painted of love, a picture's painted of you. I've come to make you smile a while, what can I do? I've come to make you smile a while, what can I do for you? When the sun shines from the sky, did you know that sparkle shines in your eyes? Doesn't mean it's real. I really wanna know how you feel. How do you feel about our love? Are you for real? Tell me, for I don't ever want to lose your love. Tell me, baby. Tell me that you love me. How do you feel? Don't wanna play no games. Open your heart, show it to me. I can't afford to lose myself. When our picture's painted of love, all the colors. Tell my world up.
right, you guys. I like that. I like really all your songs, actually. I think they're, I like the smoothness. That's the kind of music I like. And music I can play when I'm in the car.
That's it.
I like that so much. We got one more song I want to play of yours, but before we go to that one right there, How Do You Feel? What was the inspiration behind that one?
Well, that one's just, you know, putting myself in a place of, you know, a lot of times we have adults, we've been in places where I'm in love with this person. I'm loving you, but I need to know if you're loving me too. Because, you know, if you're not loving me, let me know, because I'd rather move on than start acting the way I should act just to hold on to you. It was more like that, just kind of relating to that. You know? I mean, I think all of us adults have gone through that before. I know I have. So when I went through it, I wrote a song about it. But, baby, I love you, let me know. But see, if you don't love me, let me know. I'd rather leave than lose myself. So what's up? So that's what inspired that one, you know.
So you know what you thought about? You probably can do a love relationship forum or something.
Say it again now.
I said, you ever thought maybe you can do a love relationship forum for some people, some couples or something?
Oh, no, maybe one day. Maybe one day. Right now, if they come to the show, there it is right there. It's right in front of you, you know what I mean? In about 45 minutes, I'm about to give them a show right now.
I'm not going to take too much more of your time because I know you got to get yourself rolling.
No, we're good. I'm in the car. I'm actually downtown right now, about to go to the venue, and I already did my sound check earlier today. So really, I try to set it up where, say if I was in my car, I could walk backstage, hit the stage, and in 5 minutes, actually be on stage singing. So that's what we're going to do tonight.
So who's on the lineup with
you? Oh, you know what? It's me tonight. There's a comedian named Pierre that's performing before me. So I don't know if you guys know Pierre. She's got a lot of TV. And so we're doing, and then I'm touring with this cat named Creech, Edwin Douglas, but he's sick or something tonight, so he couldn't make the show, so Pierre's filling in for him. But, you know, what I try to do is try to do a show with my music and then a comedian come on before me. And it's been a good night for people. People come out and laugh, and then I sing to them, and they go home and do whatever they do.
Yeah. That sounds like it's fun. Now, you said, you grew up in the church, right?
Grew up in the church, yeah, definitely.
Was your dad a preacher or a minister?
No, my dad's a deacon. My grandfather was a preacher. My grandmother was the first lady. In fact, my grandmother, a true story, I wanted to play piano. And she one day, she said, you want to play, don't you? I was like, how does she know? But yeah, I do, right? And she was like, sit down. My grandmother showed me to play piano about an hour, hour and a half. No lie.
What?
My grandmother was a genius. If I don't know why, she was a genius. I didn't know how much of a genius she was after she passed away. I knew she was different. But, you know, I didn't know, like, she got a bachelor's degree in 1937 in the South for a black woman. That was big. Yeah, but she told me, she said, sit down, I'm going to show you how to play. And she started showing me how to play piano. And that night, I was playing. And then I went to this jazz concert one night, and I came back and I told my old man, I said, man, I went to the show last night. Nobody was singing, because we all sing, my dad, my brothers, everybody, my grandma, everybody sings. But it was the first concert I've been to when nobody sang. So my old man bought me a guitar. A couple of weeks later, I was playing a guitar. So, yeah, I grew up in church doing it. And, you know, church is a good place to play because you always play on Sunday. You always got a gig on Sunday. You know, you always got a gig. So it was fun.
That's true. You're so right about that. The reason why I ask you that is because so many of our young people who grow up in the church and they become the entertainers and, you know, the singers and all that. Right. And some of them forget that's where they began, and they change their whole lifestyle, which, I mean, to each his own, they can do that. But it's like when they get to the point where they're in trouble and things are not going right, they find themselves going back to where they originated from.
Right.
You notice that with a lot of – I noticed that with a lot of singers. You know, when all else fails, they go back to the gospel. Because right now, gospel music is a hot item from what I'm hearing.
Gospel is hot. gospel is hot. I mean, I think that, you know, for his music, you know, it's like you have to do what you're called to do. You know, I look at someone like Al Green. Al Green was preaching the gospel and singing R&B. You know, I agree with you that people kind of go back to what's hot. I think that, you know, you do what you do. Not every Christian teacher teaches in a Christian school. Not every Christian actor teaches at a Christian, you know, acting just Christian movies. I'm a Christian. I sing clean R&B. But I still sing gospel. You know, I still play. I just produced my dad's gospel record and whatnot. I still sing gospel. But this record, this R&B record, is for believers and unbelievers. Believers, when they leave church, if a cat is having, you know, a romantic night with his lady, he's probably not going to put on Kirk Franklin. Probably not. He wants to set the mood. You know what I mean? I think Kirk is a genius. There ain't no putting on Kirk. Kirk changed the whole game to me, gospel wise.
But I think that he did.
Kirk changed the game. Kirk is a genius. Everybody, a lot of people copying Kirk now. Kirk's a genius. But I think that, like, with this particular CD, it's a happy, feel good, easy listening CD. So it's not something a believer can put on and feel like, oh, these lyrics go against my belief. These lyrics go against the word of God. These lyrics are demonic lyrics. No. At the same time, I think that in the body of Christ, we have to understand, if Christians say, man, the music industry is corrupt, it's so messed up, who is God going to use to turn it around if he doesn't use a believer? Is he going to use an unbeliever? No, because the unbeliever, generally speaking, is the one that has in the situation that's in now. So for me, I love the Lord. I truly do. And when God inspired me to write this record, I mean, I've written these songs, so I've written probably 300 songs by now. But when I put when I took 8 of the songs that I've written and put them in this album, it was like, man, put this album out so people can feel good, they can enjoy life, they can be romantic, they can be inspired to love again. You know, it's like a friend of mine, when I cut this out, he's like, man, are you backsliding? I'm like, man, shut up, man. Come on now. And then he listens to the album, oh, I see what you're doing. It's like, no, man, we can't just be holy on Sunday and be in the four walls. We have to come out of the walls to make a difference. And so this album, some Christians, they only listen to gospel, but I don't know many Christians that just listen to gospel. I know Christians listen to gospel, R&B, jazz. And so for the ones who feel like they want an alternative to just gospel, that's why this album is out. But I agree with you. You know, people come back to what's familiar if they get in trouble. But I say even that's not a bad thing, because guess what? When my black tail wasn't living in my ride, I promise I was calling on the name of Jesus. I promise I was calling that name. That name is above all names. And he did redeem me. He did restore me. And he did he did build me back up when I was down. I was smoking weed, hanging out, chasing women, and all the things that I was doing. And God allowed me to be thrashed. And once I got thrashed so much, I was like, you know what? This is not the life I want to lead, Lord. And so you need to restore my soul. So that's my testimony.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. The reason why I said that is because I'm thinking about all the great singers, you know, and entertainers that, like Stephanie Mills, for instance. You think of Stephanie Mills. Right. You think of Regina Bell. Oh, man, I love me some Regina Bell. And all of them now are singing gospel. So it just,
yeah, I love it.
Huh?
Yeah, I noticed that. I watched Unsung, and I saw Regina's story, how she had a brain tumor and all that. But I'll say this, too. Like, this entertainment business, it is a great business, but it's one of the most ruthless, demonic businesses in the world. It's like, I mean, you know, it's like it's dirty, it's cold, it don't lie to you. You know, to take your phone if you let it. And then I think that some stuff is seasonal. Some people, they make a couple hit records. They tour and they say, you know what, I've been there, done that. There's a different purpose for me. And I'm not so sure I won't get to that point where I say, you know what, I've been there, done it. I said what I need to say. God wrote these songs, he inspired me. You know what, I'm going to move on.
Exactly.
I mean, I sure don't want to be 60 years old trying to have to come up with a hit record. That's for sure. You know, not at all. But I think that right now is the time for my message. Right now is the time that God is using me. And not just me, many. But God is using me, I can speak personally, God is using me to say, you know what, give the people something that'll feed their souls. Give the people something to uplift them. Song like I wrote, like, love someone. You need to love someone. It's natural. Everybody can relate to that. Everybody can relate.
Yeah, exactly. You're so right about that. Look, so tell me a little bit about your Perfect Love Tour.
All right, that's what I'm doing. That's one of the shows I'm doing tonight. I put the Perfect Love Tour together because I wanted people to come out and have a good, clean night of entertainment. I wanted the husband and wife or my dear or poo-poo Nim or whoever wants to come out and feel like they can bring the kids out or they don't have to be so offended by all this raunchy stuff on stage. So the Perfect Love Tour is just it's a tour where people can come and just enjoy themselves, good, clean, wholesome family entertainment, much like they were doing back in the day. So that's what the purpose of comedians. Like I said, as a comedian and myself, we on stage about together about an hour and a half. And thank you, good night. And hope everybody have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I was talking to somebody, and I was like, you live in Dallas, Texas, or you're from Dallas, Texas. I didn't realize that you were in California after you told me. And I was like, man, he's close. I said, I have a birthday coming up, and I want to have a birthday bash. And I need somebody. I want to get some other people. I have a couple people in mind, but you came to mind because I was like, he's right here in Texas, so I can really get him. But I didn't realize that you were a long way from Texas.
When is your birthday?
It's in February, and I'm trying to get it for February the 15th. Because my birthday falls on a Sunday, and that's a Saturday.
Okay.
So I wanted to work on trying to put them together.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's make something happen.
I would like that. Okay, you guys, we're going to play Mr. Darcell.
All right.
Love Someone real quick, and then we're going to have to let him go because he's got to get on the stage and do his thing. Here we go. Love someone.
It's natural.
Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Build a fire on the wind. Take life nice and slowly.
Time is wine getting away from us. Mr. Darcell, I would like to tell everyone where we can get a copy of your album and tell us a little bit what you're doing in the next couple of months. And tell us how we can contact or get a hold of you if we want to probably get you out where we're at.
Well, you can get the album at darcell.net, which is darcell.net. That's my website. Or you can go to iTunes. You know, my name is Darcell, obviously. Or you can go to cdbaby.com/Darcell. That's the quickest way to get the CD. Right now I'm just doing the Perfect Love Tour. I'm doing a thing in Dallas. I'm being Wiley College. All my shows on my website. And you can hit me up on Twitter at Hit Darcell, H-I-T Darcell, or Facebook at facebook.com/darcell.net. So it's really easy. Hit me up on Twitter. I love to talk to you. I love to come out there and do a show, too. They
yeah,
tried me on. I forgot. That's one station
in I am so serious about getting you out here because I was just talking to my commander, my VFW here, and, man, that would be awesome to get you out here. Oh, definitely, yes.
I love the South. South, let's say this. South, the Southerners, and I'm a country boy from Dallas. I happen to live out in L.A., but Dallas is my home. The South is the one that's keeping R&B alive. Believe that.
You are so right.
Y'all keeping soul singers alive, soul singers like me. I know Brian McKnight, if he's in Dallas tonight, too. I'm a music soul child. Artists like Anthony Hamilton, Kim, we all appreciate it, man, because without you guys, I don't know what R&B would be, especially for the male singers. I don't even know if we'd even be around anymore. So we just appreciate
you
so much.
You got more kids trying to come up than you got the older, the middle-aged people. When I say middle, like our 20 and 30-year-olds, it's like they've already gone and done their thing. You got these teenagers coming up in there, and I don't feel them. I don't all feel none of them.
Well, you know, it's something for everybody, but, you know, I know my album's for grown folk. I hope the kids love it. If you listen to kids or if y'all want to know where they're on beat, check my album out. And for you adults, I ain't forgot about you. We still represent.
Okay, Darcell, I want to say thank you very much for this interview. You guys, we had a great time. You are a great guy just by talking to you. I can feel your spirit. You have a great, genuine spirit. And that's what we need. And your songs are great. Keep the work up. Do what you got to do. And tell your family I said hi. And I hope they enjoy traveling and getting to see the world. I mean, you can't beat that.
As long as you tell your kids you love them and then get a toy or two, they don't care where you go.
Exactly.
They don't care. But hit me up, though. Like I said, let's talk about your birthday. I'll try to make a concert out there happen, you know. I'd love to come out there. I haven't been out there with in a long time. I'd love to come out there.
Okay, I will definitely do that. You take care, okay?
I love you, baby.
Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You guys, that was Darcell Clayton of Hollywood, California, by the way of Dallas, Texas. And, I mean, he sounds like he has such a great spirit, and I like that. That is so awesome. I had a great time with this interview, talked very deep. We might have got off the subject a little bit, but that's fine, because then it's good that you know that these people are down to earth just like everybody else. Sometimes, you know, we think that these people walk on water, but they're just like me and you, you know, and it's amazing, you know, that he's doing all that he's doing. You know, like he said, he came from being homeless. And if you heard his real story and he didn't talk about it, mention it, not once did he become homeless. He became homeless twice. So in pursuit of doing what he's doing, and his family was right there with him. You know, sometimes we get, we want to walk away, you know, when things get hard, or we want to make it even harder for the person who's trying to make things happen. Instead of working and being with them and supporting them would make it harder for them, they stayed there with him. So, I mean, to me, he's a fine young gentleman, and, I mean, you can't ask that. And his songs are wholesome, and anybody can listen to his songs. You know, it's not about all the humping and bumping and grinding and all of that. It's not about all that, and that's what we need. We need just that. I think he's an awesome guy, and I wish him the best in anything that he does. You guys, we're going to shut down early tonight You know, usually I do the two-hour thing, but tonight we're going to shut down early. I got some great people coming up. I got Gina Carey coming up Sunday at 3 p.m. I'm going to say it again, Sunday at 3 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, Say Your Peace Network. We will be having Gina Carey on here, and I'm excited for that. Tuesday we're going to have another young lady out of Michigan, and we'll be talking with her. And I'm going to be posting all that up on Facebook to let you guys know what's going on. Then Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, I have Miss Jane Elliott. She's the young lady. She's a teacher that back in, I think, the 60s, she did an experiment called Brown Eyes, Blue Eyes. And she was doing the experiment to show people how we see ourselves and how others see us. And I think it was an excellent experiment. If you want to see it, she's got it on YouTube. It's called Jane Elliott Brown Eyed Blue Eyed Experiment. And hit it up, and I put it on Facebook because I think it was, I never heard of it until somebody put it up, and I saw it, and I passed it on. And I called her, which was so amazing, and she picked up the phone and talked to me. I was just, like, amazed that she talked to me. So we set it up, and I'm ready to roll with her. I can imagine how very interesting that's going to be to talk to her. Well, you guys, I'm going to say it's time to go. This has been Say Your Peace Radio Network. I'm Salita, your host, and you guys have a great weekend. Bye-bye.